on this episode of Still Loading, Great Scott Mario! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the second episode of Mario Month. That's right, we are continuing on with the edutainment games of Mario, which not a lot of people know about, surprisingly enough. Well, actually, I guess unsurprisingly, because they're kind of awful. This one is by far a lot worse than last week's one, by a long shot. Would you agree, Casey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, by the way, Casey's back, if you couldn't already tell.
we just felt sadomasochistic these past couple weeks playing these terrible games.
Oh my god. So this week's episode is on Mario's Time Machine. This one is for the Super Nintendo. Did it have an NES release, do you know?
Yeah, they did. I tried finding it too many games, but I couldn't find it.
Is it expensive, do you know?
Yeah, it's like $60.
For an edutainment game.
Terrible.
Game, excuse me, on top of that. Once again, this is developed by the Software Toolworks and Radical Entertainment, same people who made Mario's Missing from last week. So this game has a lot less to talk about, and even like Mario's Missing didn't have that much, though. I'm still thoroughly impressed by that game. This one, to start off though, I actually want to talk about the artwork for this because it's kind of bonkers. Like Mario's Missing just has like Mario, like Luigi searching for Mario. He's got like a lantern up and whatnot in like a cave, and it's like, okay, it makes sense. It very much depicts what you're going to do in the game. Mario's Time Machine, it's very clearly a time machine, but the artwork is just kind of batshit crazy. You see this blue swirl that's like highlighted by yellow for where like the swirls are, and you see Mario going through this tiny little pod flying through space. It's got a bunch of calendar pages on it, like 1906, 1824 for the random years, and I find it bizarrely funny that Abraham Lincoln's in the top right corner just hovering over Mario. Like, he's like, praise be the Mario. And there's an American flag in it. It's kind of amazing looking.
He looks way too happy.
I know, right? It's such a strange like idea for art. And to be fair, though, the art in that kind of reflects what the art style in the game looks like, which is just awkward. Like, all the sprite work in it is just bad. It looks like a... You know what? It very much feels like a 90s PC adventure game. And I'm not saying that in a mean way, because I don't mind those graphics, but it's just very strange to see, like, this very crisp Mario sprite on the backdrop of these like very poorly done pixel art backdrops. Cause not all PC, you know, like PC adventure game stuff, like with that type of pixel art was bad. This just happens to be kind of really bad.
Yeah.
So Casey, what do you think of Mario's Time Machine? What's your impressions of it?
It is way more educational based than the previous one that we played with Mario's Missing.
Holy shit. Like, yes.
You have a word bank. Well, first of all, like you start off in what looks like Bowser's Castle or something.
Yes.
I guess. Yeah. And then he
is, the premise of this game is that Bowser is going back in time. He made a time machine because Bowser is apparently now a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He just made a time machine, went back in time to steal all the artifacts, like rare artifacts, so he can have it in his museum. But because he steals all these artifacts, it has like this awful, it's bad for the time or for history, because then you're changing everything, you're changing the past. So he steals like Isaac Newton's apple and Joan of Arc's shield and like all these weird random like snippets. I wonder what he stole from Abraham Lincoln now. We didn't get that far into the game because it was just too tedious. Like,
it was John Wilkes Booth's gone. Terrible.
That's so bad. Yeah. Lincoln was, oh, that would be
so morbid.
Bad. Oh my goodness. You have to just think, but think about that for a second, though. How fucked up is it that you would, if that was what had happened, you have to be the one to go put the gun back?
Yep. Just to rewrite history.
Oh my God, that's so awful. Oh, that's
the way it was
up.
Supposed to be. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But yeah, as you were saying, like you start off in Bowser's Castle on the first floor, since there are five different floors.
Three.
Five
levels per floor.
That's right. Yeah.
Per floor.
Terrible.
Three floors.
Terrible. And then it's like kind of like a pedestal, and each pedestal has, you know, like you said,
an artifact on it.
The
item that he stole.
Yeah. So if you were to click on one of the items that you want to take back, like I know we only played it for like 5 minutes this time around because it was terrible.
Like we even looked up the answers so we wouldn't have to think, and we got bored.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of the fun of the game, but like I don't want to have to. I mean, it really does the edutainment thing. Sorry, go on.
No, but it's like with Mario's Missing from what we played that last week, it gave you a kind of like a word or a multiple choice, you know, where this one kind of does too, but you have to fill in the blanks, but it gives you a word bank of all the words in every level. So you have to select the right one. And if you select the wrong one three times, you have to start all over. It's not like a multiple choice.
It's so annoying. Yeah. And you have to scroll through it, especially if it's like, it's alphabetical. So if it's something farther down in the alphabet, yeah, like in towards the end, you're going to be there for a minute.
Yep.
It's not great. And so the whole premise is, like Casey said, you have to fill out the basically fill out almost like a Mad Lib, but with not fun words that you make up with all the answers. And then you have to give the historical figure back the item that was stolen, and then you beat that level, quote unquote. Though I know it's interesting, though. I was reading on Wikipedia. Now, I take that for what it's worth. I'd have to double check the source on it. That one of the things that this game was praised for was the dialogue between Mario and the historical figure, saying they added realism and depth to the historical figures. I'm assuming if that's actually like a critic's review, I'm assuming that was for the time because it was an edutainment game from the early 90s, so it probably didn't have a whole lot to base that interaction off with. It's not like it was, I don't know how realistic you can get. Like Isaac Newton literally compliments Mario on how high he can jump. I guess that's what they're talking about, though, because it's kind of building like a little bit of a relationship between the historical figures and Mario, in a sense.
I know during the first level with Isaac Newton, you went into one of the halls and you were talking to some scholar. I don't know if it revealed his name, but one of them was like, give him the apple. And then you give him the apple and he's like, oh, I prefer Macintosh. It's like, okay.
You piece of shit. I'm a Windows user. He's like, what is that? Oh, this is the Stone Ages. That'd be so weird if they were actually, but it's weird because like they're aware of who Mario is. All of the people seem to be aware of who Mario is. Like Joan of Arc said, oh, thank you, Mario. And he goes, how do you know who I am? And she's like, she said, oh, wait, never mind. This makes sense. She said, let's just say it came to me in a vision. And I feel really dumb now because that was what Joan of Arc did. Like her whole quest was based off visions she had. Now I feel really stupid. I was like, okay, so is there like some... My first thought was like, is there some supernatural thing going on? Is like Mario somehow, you know, omnipresent in the... Is he actually God? Did he come back for us?
Yes.
Is he the one that saved all of history? And now I just feel stupid because I forgot that's a core part of Joan of Arc's story is that she received visions.
I've had that many times at work. Not premonitions. But just the fact that it's like, oh, I have a question. Can you come help me out? And then they'll come over and they'll try to help me out with something. After I reread the issue, I'm like, oh, never mind. You can go back to your desk. I completely get it now.
I just feel so stupid.
Yeah.
So that's honestly the game, though. I actually, there is a little bit more. Let me look up quick who all the different historical figures are. In the meantime, while I'm looking that up, Casey, what did you think of the artwork? Like, what did you think of? I talked about how it looked kind of like an adventure game, like a PC adventure game, but what did you think of it?
I thought it was nice. It was nice and crisp. It was definitely reminiscent of Super Mario World, which makes sense as, you know, that game came out about 2 years prior to this one. Even with the music, sounded very reminiscent of it, which was nice. But other than that, that's pretty much all that can be praised upon when it comes to, you know, my opinion of the game, because it's really, really, really bad. It's not like Mario's Missing with the NES where you can kind of have fun with it. With this one, it's like you really need to read into everything that's being presented at you.
It definitely is a different level. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's meant for kids who are older, I would say.
Right.
Like, Mario's Missing seemed to be a much more simplistic and definitely meant for younger kids.
Right.
This one, there's a lot of text in it. Yeah. There is a lot of text. Well, a
lot of information.
Comparatively, yeah. Compared to the last one that you have to memorize and then put down. Yeah. I guess you don't have to memorize because you can just bring up the sheet at any point in time and put whatever you just learned.
Yeah. And today, like, it's so easy to beat it if you, you know, have an internet connection. You know, you can literally just look up all the, and that's it.
The historical figures you get to meet, though, from what I can see on this Wikipedia page, you get to meet Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Andrew Iverson. What? Hold on.
Allen Iverson.
Sorry, no, that's not why I was saying. So, sorry for that little pause there. Andrew Iverson is actually a programmer on the game. They had Anne Hathaway, which is what confused me, because Anne Hathaway is... But it's Anne Hathaway, not Anne Hathaway.
Gotcha.
And Anne Hathaway, she appears in, you know, Mario's Time Machine. That's kind of funny, actually. They have a whole list of all these different characters, though. I'll list just some of the big ones, just because there's a lot. Ferdinand Magellan, Isaac Newton, like we mentioned before. Joan of Arc, also like we mentioned before. Johann Gutenberg, Joseph Haydn, Julius Caesar, Kublai Khan, Galileo, George Washington Carver, Francis Drake, Frederick Douglass, Marco Polo, Mary Todd Lincoln. Oh, this poor woman. And just so many more. Like, it's just, there's a lot of different historical figures in here. I don't want to read all of them. I would just bore you guys to tears. But there's a lot of different people that you get to meet and Mario to interact with. Now I'm kind of curious if what other kind of like small jokes they threw in based on the history. I hope Abraham Lincoln's wasn't a dark one.
It's honestly, like, if I had to take a guess, because I did play this game like 10 years ago. If I had to guess, it may have been like his top hat or something.
Well, and that's the item, but I'm talking about like the weird pun type of humor. Oh, the pun.
Yeah, I don't know.
So on to the music. The music is fine. It's nothing special to me. Though I looked up, I was just curious who the guy who composed it, and his name is Mark Knight. And I actually looked him up just out of curiosity. The guy still works in video games today. He actually works for Codemasters. So he does a lot of those, like, those racing games type of thing. He works for Codemasters, and he still releases some of his own music. I actually played a little bit of it for you, Casey. He has some pretty banger, like, chiptune music. Mm-hmm. It's, like, very different from what you hear on that Mario's Time Machine game, but
yeah.
And his credit list is pretty freaking long. He's done a lot of like F1 Formula Racing type of games, and that's a lot of his, that's the bulk of his credits, but he's worked on a ton of different things. He's worked on like other Mario educational games, which the other one we couldn't find. I forget what it was called though. It was like Mario's Mission Earth or something like that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
He says it's for the Super Nintendo, but I can't find it. And like, unless it's like, he's from Britain, so it could be like a PAL region thing, but it should show up online. Like, just because it was never released in North America, like, you can...
Or it was renamed different somewhere else, I don't know.
Do you think so?
I don't know, Mission...
I can't find anything on it. But the guy's still working, and it's, I don't know. I always like it when I see that. I like it when I see people like just consistently getting work, because my brother is an actor, as I've said on many other episodes, And it's hard to find work as like in any entertainment industry, unless you're the one producing the content.
Yep.
Which I don't even really classify this as the entertainment industry, but it, obviously we don't have to wait for anything. We just do it.
Yeah.
The immediacy of podcasting is so nice. Like you can just record and have something out the next day. In fact, when you guys are hearing this, this was recorded the day before the first episode of Mario Month was released. So like it wasn't that long ago. And the only reason we even record so far in advance is just, it's not even like it's that far. It just gives me time to edit and like splice things together. But anyway, I got sidetracked. Mario's Time Machine. Piece of shit. I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Don't even waste your time.
Do you have any final thoughts on it? I know this one's pretty short, but we were even able to get 15 minutes out of this, which still surprises me.
My condolences go out to the kids that bought this game at full price. Seriously, back in the early 90s, thinking that it was going to be an adventure game.
Imagine how, like, hold on. Let's see if we, like, I'm not trying to stretch the episode out just for the sake of time, but, like, think about this. How cool would it have been to have, like, a Mario time travel based game, like a platformer? Like, maybe have, like, a fast forward and rewind type of Mario game. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, he can jump, hit like the time travel button, and it'll warp him back like a couple, like warp back his jump or something like that. And maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
create like a time travel element, or maybe be able to freeze certain enemies. Like certain enemies are immune to time travel, so like even if you go backwards, they'll still progress forwards. So you can design levels around that.
Might be onto something. And in addition to that, maybe to get really intricate, you could go back like an actual time. Maybe Bowser was going through time after Kenneth's Princess Peach, and then if you were to go to 1985, you know, Super Mario Brothers era,
you would change the art style.
You would change the art style completely. It would be like the Messenger, like
Switch.
It'd be kind of like,
I need
that.
To play that game so
bad. Good.
Is it really good? Yeah, have you beaten it?
I have. It's tough, but it's beatable.
I would hope so.
Yeah, no, it's beatable. But no, I think that's a great idea. Like, if only a game like that existed. And who knows, that might be Miyamoto's next invention, for all we know. Something along the lines of that.
Well, I feel like there's been enough games that kind of, like, Braid kind of already did that. You ever play Braid?
No.
Braid was an indie game that came out a good number of years ago, almost probably, like, 10-ish years ago, I want to say. It's been a while. It's been a while. But basically the whole premise of it was it was the same, basically what I was saying. But it was more of a puzzle platformer versus like a Mario, which is just a Twitch action type of platformer.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see them try to do something like that with Mario physics and like Mario style gameplay versus Braid, which was more of a puzzle type of thing.
Gotcha.
Though, I mean, they do stuff like that now. I mean, Mario Maker 2 is out now, and some of the new things they've added, they've never been in Mario games before, like those icicles.
Yeah.
At least, sorry, 2D Mario games, at least. But there's been a lot of cool things they added to it. So I don't know. I know we kind of segue off of Mario's Time Machine into like Mario design philosophies, but like we said before, there's not a lot to talk
there
about
really
with this
isn't.
Game. Are you enjoying Mario Maker 2 so far?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah?
It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed the fact that they added a story mode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really neat.
I played a little bit of that. You're essentially rebuilding the castle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you basically go and do tasks to get coins, and then you use those coins to build different parts of the castle that was originally. I don't remember if it was flown off by some dog or if it was destroyed or.
Oh, so they just built the castle, and then the dog accidentally destroyed it.
That's what it was.
Like,
yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we had to rebuild it.
I really like all the, like, I've been really obsessed with he's a YouTuber as well, but he's a speedrunner, Grand Pooh Bear. I mm-hmm. showed you a video of his before.
Yeah.
Dude's crazy.
Heard of him. Yeah.
He's a really good speedrunner, but he does a lot of Twitch streaming, and you know what's even more nuts? He is a Red Bull sponsored athlete. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I mean, one part of me is like an athlete, like for video games. But when you speedrun, I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but like it actually takes more. I'm not saying it's comparatively, like obviously someone who plays like, you know, basketball or hockey or football, that's a much more athletic style of sport or athletic type of thing. But like someone who plays golf, like some golfers are in good shape, but there's other golfers who, like, I forget who it is. A friend of mine was telling me, like, there's a professional golfer who's considered an athlete who just gets carted around to each of the holes, even though golfers aren't supposed to. They're supposed to walk to each of them. He actually has it arranged so he just gets driven to each of his holes so he can tee off and then drive to the next point, next spot. Hmm. Or maybe they do get driven between each of the holes, but they don't drive to the spot where their ball was placed, you know, where they hit the ball to on the way to getting it into the hole. But I'm like, and if that dude can be considered a professional athlete, a speedrunner can be considered a professional athlete. That's my logic behind it. But the crazy thing about speedrunning is that, like, when you do something so long, you actually need to have, like, you need to drink a lot of water. You have to stretch your hands out because they will cramp up. Like, it's crazy. A lot of speedrunners, they have to shake their hands out in between runs just because, like, they're so focused and everything's so twitch reflexed. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like refined down to like such minute detail. I don't know. It fascinates me. Like, and that'd be an interesting like topic for an episode. Like, would you consider speedrunning, kind of like esports, like an actual sport? I'm not saying like an athlete necessarily, but a sport.
Believe it or not, I was actually thinking about that. That would be a good topic of a discussion on another podcast too.
I agree. I don't really know where I stand on it. That's the weird part. But
at the end of the day, I say it's not, but I can explain further when that time comes.
What do you guys think? I'd love to hear from you guys. What do you think of, do you think esports and speedrunning, could speedrunning be considered an esport? I actually think it should be, but can you consider esports at all a type of sport? Let me know. I don't know. I'm very curious about it. And I always think it's interesting, like, can video gamers or like professional esports athletes become, or are they considered athletes? Like, do you consider them? No, because you have to do something athletic in order to do that. But at the same time, they're very dexterous, you know, like their fingers move very fast. So that's an athletic type, but it's very specific to just your fingers.
Right. That's kind of like my whole argument is that I understand that, especially with those who are, into esports, that they're pro gamers, that they need to spend a considerable amount of time practicing, you know, getting good and skillful at said game that they're working on. However, for me, that doesn't necessarily constitute an athlete because you can do the same thing with an instrument. And that doesn't make you an athlete. You know what I mean? It can make you a musician, but
it's a fair point.
But at the same time, I understand where it's kind of like, well,
I could.
There's competition involved.
That's what I was gonna say. You could make the argument it's a sport. That's why they call it esports, I guess. But could you make the argument they're athletes? I can see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't think so. But at the same time, I see where people come from when they say that they are. So it's like,
I know we're sounding like really neutral about it, but it's like I honestly don't know where I stand on that whole thing, because it seems like, one, who really cares? Like, if you have fun doing it, then do it. If you're able to make money off it, even better than, like, fuck everyone else. Like, if you can find a way to make money off of doing what you love, then more power too. I mean, as long as it's, you know, not illegal and you're not an asshole with what you're doing, but that's neither here nor there. All right, we kind of went all over the place with that, but that was a good, we kind of diverged a little bit, but like we said, Mario's Time Machine, not really much to talk about. So let's wrap this up. So Casey, final thoughts on Mario's Time Machine.
Yeah, kind of like what I said about 5 minutes ago, the fact that condolences to those that paid full price for this game back in the early 90s, because it is not very good. Even if you don't look at it as a Mario game, it's still not a good game. It's boring as all hell.
I would say it's a good educational game, but if you don't like educational games, then it's not good.
Right.
I agree with that. So, all right. Well, thank you all once again for listening. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. You can also find my website, stillloadingpodcast.com. So check me out there. Casey, where can they find you?
Same place as same social media platform as I mentioned last week. Instagram is probably the best bet. I post a lot of video game related materials, especially my collection. That is Kazuya Kane. That's KazuyaKane. That's N as in November.
Just change it every
time. I need
to
specify that. Yeah.
Just change it every time. Last week was Nancy. N as in Nintendo. N as in Nintendo.
Nintendo. Nintendo.
So yeah, you can also check out the sponsor of the Podbeard Network. That's SeatGiant.com or SeatGiant.ca for you Canadians. SeatGiant is a ticket reselling website where you can buy tickets for your favorite concerts, shows, events, and other things like that. So please consider checking them out. They have great prices. And if you use the promo code Podbeard, PODBEARD at checkout, you'll save a little extra on top of that. And yeah, that should do it for me. That's all I got. I've been doing so many shout outs. I'll do shout outs at the end of Mario Month because otherwise it's just going to be so much to say. So I'll do a big round of shout outs at the end of Mario Month for the last episode. So without further ado, Casey, thank you very much for joining me for this episode.
Thank you so much.
And we will see you for the next week, for the third week of Mario Month. So until then, see you all next time.